This is Roberto. You are back with another Steambox podcast where it all started here at Alvarez High School. My Alvarez steampunks, please say what's up.
What's up?
I'm your Hope. I'm J-Hope.
J-Hope. What's up, J-Hope?
Give That's me
some,
your bias?
Give me some of that weird JoJo voice that my son is doing now.
Shinjitsu shinjitsu ni totatsuru koto wa keshite nai.
Can you tell me what you just said?
That's hella accurate, though.
You will never reach the truth.
You will never reach the truth. Armando is my man.
It would have been ironic if he didn't tell you. He's your man?
Yeah, he was just like, Armando's my dude, but Armando disappointed us because we went to Japan and we were ready. We were ready for some of the food.
Right.
Was and our, he was not. He was eating pizza.
Chicken nuggets. Hold on,
let's be easy with the F-bombs. Let's be easy with the F-bombs, Raphael. Let's be easy.
Why pizza?
Why pizza in
Why
Japan?
Why chicken tenders?
I pick from a very small circle.
Listen, I respect chicken tenders.
But, however, if I were to go on any other trip, I will, no matter the case, try new food.
He will. He's promised that he's going to try new food. So we're going to get him the sloppiest, grossest poutine. When we are in Canada, we're going to get like the most mayonnaise-y.
You got a way to put it onto the contract.
Hold up. Are we talking about like poutine, like a type of food, or poutine like Josuelito?
No, poutine como like a type of food.
Damn, oh. why is your spit? Okay, so I have not introduced our guest. Josuelito. Our guest today is MIT grad, founder of the program Bajika, which is like a Steambox kind of counterpart in Boston, except some of the stuff that they're doing is really dope on the engineering when we're fronting and like playing a lot. And overall, really cool person, Nisha McCray. Nisha, say what's up.
What's up?
Nisha, my first question is, why is your Spanish better than my Spanish? What the hell just happened?
Because I grew up in Miami.
Because she grew up in Miami. Yo, so how come she got mad at me when I said she's from Florida? Did you see that when I was like, she's from
Florida?
Because
you were disrespecting the South. You like, oh, because she got from up here. You can tell in her accent.
Oh, no, I feel like
everybody says that to me all the time just because I'm from New York. Oh, she's not from Prov.
Right.
Well, a lot of people feel like Prov and Rhode Island is part of New York. You ever get that?
No.
I get that all the time.
I feel like if somebody was to say that to me, I would feel so disrespected because New York is so much more than that. And for you to compare it to Rhode Island, I feel disrespected.
I feel you, but
like, I love Rhode Island. I love Rhode Island. Like, I love our culture. I love our people. But do I love everything about Rhode Island? No, because it could be 100 times better.
You love everything about New York?
No, but here's my thing, where I'm getting at. New York has a lot of roots. It has a lot of history. It brought a lot of great things, and it has a lot of great memories, so don't disrespect where I'm from.
Had a lot of smells.
Yeah, right. A lot of cigarettes, a lot of asthma and shit. You know, I got some of that.
All right, so growing up in Miami, that's why her Spanish is a little better than mine. Armando's going to try new foods, even the crazy poutine. The poutine is different. It's French fries with just stuff on
it. Every single time you say poutine, I just think about Josuelito. If you know who that is, you know what it is.
I don't know who that is. Who is Josuelito?
Search it up on Facebook.
I'm not going to search it up on Facebook.
I thought you didn't say YouTube, Google, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. There was on YouTube, too.
Who here remembers Nisha coming in here before?
Yes, me.
You remember Nisha coming in? You remember Nisha coming in? Describe to me, Lewis. Welcome back, Lewis. My homie. I love you. Describe to me how Nisha was dressed when she came in last time.
Yo, she had like the best fit on. Like, it was really a vibe. Like, it was really stylish. Like,
what was she representing?
Look at her face.
What do you remember? What was she representing?
She was representing Wakanda. Like,
she was representing Wakanda. She was representing Wakanda.
When I came dressed as Princess Cherie, I was like, Nisha had a fit. What? I mean, I just get
girl, you got a fit right now.
Well, you know,
I'm messing with
Yeezy.
The blazer. Like, okay. The little hat. Okay.
Gray tones.
We did a Steambox Bajika, and I'm still learning the correct pronunciation, right? Because it's phonetically different. Like, phonetically, it's Mbadika, right? Like, it's. So, where does this, I know we asked you this before, where does that word come from? Where does the word Bajika come from?
Let's recap.
Does it come from Wakanda?
No. So it could be considered Wakanda, but it was the 1500s version of Wakanda.
Okay.
So you may know the country of Angola. They're currently in the news right now because the daughter of the former leader of Angola was just compromised in Luanda leaks, which basically she stole over $1 billion worth of her country's resources, etc. So that may be one reason you know Angola.
I'm sorry, but she did that.
She did.
I don't care. Isabella she did that.
So we're giving her some level of props for like...
She was Africa's richest woman.
She's gonna be hella crafty. Like, imagine stealing $500,000. Like, what? And you just stole that from under everybody's eyes. Like, everybody sees you in the, like, eye of, like, you know, the society.
Wait, no? She got a Forbes cover as Africa's richest woman.
Period! It's over.
She was like, we got diamonds, we got oil, we got all these resources. What we gonna do? I'm going to own all of it.
Let me guess, she's not married.
So that's why.
Oh.
Does she have any kids?
She's married to Rihanna, right? I heard they broke up. I heard that.
What?
Really going through Hamill into this?
That was a whole different thing. I'm sorry, my bad.
Disrespected ASAP Rocky. I hear you. But no, pretty much the word for Bajika, which means idea, comes from Angola. And back in the day, the kingdom was actually called the Kingdom of Kimbundu, and it had this Queen Nzinga, which if you don't know her, you should look her up. Pretty much she was one of the only African royalty that was able to hold off the Portuguese when it came down to, you know, slavery and all of that stuff. And so she pretty much, when she was 16 until her dying breath, when she was 81, held off the Portuguese. And for runaway slaves or anyone who didn't want to be a part of the slave trade, she made a tech kingdom for them to learn engineering, mathematics, etc.
Hold up, that actually starting to sound like Wakanda.
Right, that's why I said it was like the 1500s version of Wakanda.
That's Wakanda, I don't care. They got the story from them.
Okay.
Where's the vibranium? Yeah.
Copyright.
Yo, maybe. Maybe.
Well,
do you
they
think
had
there
diamonds
in-
and oil, etc. So.
They're hiding things now.
Oh, yeah, no. No doubt.
They've got vibranium? That's what's up?
As many diamonds, oil, and other natural resources Angola has, that's why they were in an over 30-year civil war. Mm. They could. So.
I bet the Simpsons predicted this.
Why
the
haven't
Simpsons
we learned about this
everything.
In history class?
Why would you learn about
this? Oh, hold on a second. Hold on a second. That was an interesting question. We can come up to the virus later, right? No, the virus can be a whole other thing. Why haven't we learned about this in history class?
Like, this seems like such an important event and such great people, and like they've done so much for their own people. And we talked all about like historic Black events, like things that happened, like slavery, the slave trade. But why don't we talk about the good things and the people that actually helped to improve it? Mm. Like this seems like a great history lesson. I would love to learn about this, but we haven't.
We probably about bridges. Like, I want to learn about that instead.
But bro, we learn about bridges. Like, what? There's no way.
We literally just learn about what they want us to know, but they don't really show us what actually happens.
I'm learning about John F. Kennedy's murder.
That's great.
His assassination.
I'm learning about the government system.
Black history. Black history for me, growing up a long time ago, was it started and ended with one person. Who's that one person? Recent holiday.
Martin Luther King.
Yeah. Martin Luther King. That was it. That was Black history for Literally. Me. They might talk about slaves in some classes, barely, but it was all about Martin Luther King. Maybe every now and then you'll get a Harriet Tubman. But it began and ended with Martin Luther King. In fact, the FBI just tweeted like some shout out to Martin Luther King and in his greatness. And I'm like, didn't the FBI have something to do with his death? Like, weren't they part of the assassins?
They're covering the tracks, okay?
They're covering their tracks. That's what the FBI does, right? I'm just saying. So that's super interesting. That was a great question. Why aren't we learning this in history? What do you think about that?
I think the reason we don't hear about Queen Nzinga was that the narrative, and even when I was, even in college, the narrative is that the African nations were divvied up by the European nations and a couple of Asian counterparts, and they had no say because they were primitive, and they didn't have anything to combat the Europeans. When in actual fact, if we have Queen Nzinga of one of the smallest kingdoms on the African continent, was able to keep the Portuguese at bay for over 60 years with her primitive tools. Who else was also keeping European settlers at bay?
But let's remember that a lot of those great Black leaders that were in the other African countries and stuff that were part of the slave trade.
That's
Do you remember they sold, the kings sold them off?
Yeah.
So you gave away your own people. She chose to hold her people down and she kept them off for 60 years. Let's say that every single African leader had said, no, we don't want to be a part of this. No, we don't want to sell our people.
Yeah.
Would it even happen? Would it even be a thing? Would slavery be such a big thing right now?
But I think as beginning of time, there's always this distinction of you never want to be the person who has a foot on their neck. You always want to be the foot on someone's neck. Mm-hmm. So regardless if that was, oh, these lesser people, even if they're my own people, I'm going to give to the Europeans so they never come for me. And then when the Europeans come for you, then all of a sudden you're in a
nobody.
Position like, ooh, snap. Like, what is the quote? First they went after this group, and I said nothing. Then they went after this group, and I still said nothing. Then they came after me.
And I died.
Exactly. So I think it's still the same mindset. In terms of Western Western civilizations versus the African continent, and this is me speaking not in my realm. I think a lot of times we don't hear it in the history books because it doesn't fit the narrative. Like, we don't hear about black or brown scientists because it doesn't fit the narrative of what a genius is. We don't hear about the contributions of women during World War II. I had to fight some of my homeboys about Battlefield, and they're like, women didn't fight in World War II? I said, well, how do you think you got medicine in World War II? Oh, it was men. The men were dying off. Yeah, last year's edition.
When did you first learn about this?
Yeah. Learn about what?
Like what she's talking about right now. The Queen.
No. Right, like right now? Listen, I read little bits and pieces of art. Like when I'm like just scrolling, like I don't know. Like I just like to read articles and sometimes I'll just read random stuff and I just learn information. It. That's yeah.
And then based off of it, my arguments. Imagine being able to remember that.
Oh, that's Brendley, me. Brendley inspires me.
Not because I'm not going to say that my history teachers didn't have anything to do with it. Because I'm not going to lie, Mr. Pearson, McMaster, they've taught me like numerous things about black culture and things that happened having
shout
to
out
do
to
with like
Mr. Pearson,
slave trade.
Shout out to Mr.
And not only like, not only, and I like the fact that they don't only include black history. Mm-hmm. The least thing that they talk about is white history. They talk about Spanish history. They talk about Asian history, like the Moulin Rouge. You know, I've learned countless things from them. So it's not only me reading articles.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I do. It's literally just a pack, a chapter of a history book that is like 30 to 40 pages long. And then we have a test on it every 2 weeks.
You see, we don't do history books.
Yeah, that's we do why. That. And then we just have a classroom discussion if we have any questions about it.
Yeah.
That's all I do for Mr. McMaster right now.
But do you guys still have the Scholastic Book Fair? Like the books actually visit?
That in a long time.
I know, I'm dating myself.
Is that like middle school? Like it still happens.
Yeah, a long time ago.
I like how you guys are like, oh, this happened in elementary school. I'm so grown up, I don't need to.
This is where, so the word idea, right? Like the word idea, and that's what Bajika means. Was there any other connection?
Well, speaking on, you haven't heard it since elementary school. The reason I only know about Queen Nzinga is back in the Scholastic Book Fairs, they will come to your library. And I don't know if you guys know the Dear America series, that is like the little journals and diaries. Yeah. They had the Royal Diary series, which was like Queen Elizabeth, and they were going through all the queens. There's a royal diary on Queen Nzinga because they were looking for a black queen. And I had never seen a black queen before, so my teacher bought me the book because she was like, oh my God, Nisha needs this book. And I remember staying up and reading the book and just going, oh my gosh, she has a bow and arrow. I'm gonna make a bow and arrow tomorrow morning. Like, why haven't I heard of this woman? She's so dope. And she's a nerd just like me, but she's also not weak like her brother, who you'll find out if you Google was kind of a wimp, but we're gonna let that go. But I used to look at that story all the time, anytime I was in middle school.
I love how high pitched your voice got when you said that.
Oh, I get excited. No, like in
baby.
Middle school.
Armando.
Did your family push you forward to get to where you are now, like to achieve your dream or anything like that? Did they help you or anything like that?
So I would say I'm the weird kid that my parents were just kind of happy if I graduated high school. They really didn't have further dreams for me. They were just kind of like, if she makes it to high school. Matter of fact, she makes it to high school without any kids we have to support. Bar unlocked accomplishment, the game is done, finished, I'm a G.
Period.
She got all the achievements.
Exactly. But anytime I express interest in something, my parents will be like, we don't know what that is, but go for it. We'll figure it out when we get to it.
Last time she was here, she told a story about her dad involving the MIT ring that almost made me cry. Can you remind us about this?
So the story you're speaking of, see, he wants to be all emotional on a podcast.
I'm trying to be Oprah.
Oh, right. I'm trying to be number one again.
Right on your seats. So I'll have to pull it out of my
feel.
How do you feel? So, so when you go to MIT, you get this thing called a brass rat, which is a graduation ring. So you know how everyone gets an engagement ring when they want to commit to someone?
Yes, but in American public, it does the same thing. So if you officially graduate from a class or a career, mm-hmm. they give you a ring with the emblem of the school.
Yep.
And underneath it says your name and the career that you graduated from next to the diploma and everything. You can also get it as a necklace, earring, or whatever.
Was it similar to that?
It's similar to that, but we don't get it when we graduate. We get it sophomore year. And the reason MIT is an exception to that, and we have this whole joke that if you spell MIT backwards, it's Tim. And Tim is a very abusive, manipulative boyfriend who keeps telling you, baby girl, I'm going to marry you. I'm going to make you into a woman. I'm going to treat you right. And you're like a year or two going, I don't know if I can do this another 2 years. I remember that time during the winter exams that, you know, I was about to call it quits. But they give you the brass rat when you're a sophomore to encourage you to finish your next 2 years.
So you don't just leave the school with a ring that you never finished.
Oh, no, you can leave the school with that ring.
Yeah, I mean, like, a ring that you, like, never got the degree for.
You look at it like...
No, there's a lot of people walking around who don't have MIT degrees with that ring. Because they said, oh, deuces, I'm still going to keep the ring.
No, but if that would be the difference. I feel, I understand what she's saying. At the end of 4 years, right.
The degree is like your marriage certificate.
This ring is totally different, right?
Yeah, this is like your engagement ring. You have another 2 years before the marriage.
Got it, yep.
And so the MIT Brass Rat is on par with the West Point ring and the Super Bowl ring in terms of most valuable rings in the world because it's considered like a prized possession. And so if you see Iron Man, you'll notice Tony Stark has a MIT Brass Rat. That's the ring he has before he gets married in the last movie. And spoiler alert, but yeah, that crazy. Brass Rat...
he's also dead. Sorry, world. Sorry, world.
But yeah. No, when I found out I got into MIT, like, my dad was over the moon. I was like, that's kind of weird, because I didn't know what MIT was until the summer before. He was acting dumb at the time. He was like, oh, but you're going. I don't know why you're, like, being all weird. And I'm going, well, how do you know this school? Because you're not interested in this kind of stuff. And he finally revealed to me that his dream school was MIT. But when he was a boy, his guidance counselor refused to write him. You guys are familiar. You have to have a letter of recommendation.
Yeah.
His guidance counselor refused to write that letter of recommendation for him and instead said, well, you'll be better as a garbage man or a trash collector than trying to be an engineer. And so because she refused to sign that letter, and back in the day you had to have your guidance counselor.
Yeah, he didn't even get the chance to try.
No. But what I didn't realize was the entire time I was growing up, because my dad had all girls, his private belief was, oh, well, I'm not even going to get a chance to raise a boy to go to MIT because I have all girls. So because I was the oldest and the tomboy, we would do woodworking. We would do all of his, like, Saturday projects together. I would help fix the car. And I like to quote it because I don't know if you guys know the story of Queen Elizabeth, that her father kept trying to marry women and trying to have a son because he wanted to have his legacy. And so when I was at... Yeah, a lot of heads rolled. He tried to have that legacy, but we're going to let it go. So when I was a sophomore and I got my brass rat, I got the phone call that my dad was on his deathbed and I needed to fly back home to Florida immediately. And so I flew home and I was so proud to show him this brass rat because my dad was just waiting for this moment because he would rewatch Iron Man just to see Tony Stark or Robert Downey Jr. with this brass rat. And inside of it had my last name. And so one of the last things my dad said to me was, I never thought I would see the McCray last name and an MIT brass rat. But before I leave this earth, I at least got that dream fulfilled. And I didn't think it would be from my daughter. I always thought it would be from a son. And it was one of those things that MIT was kicking my tail at the time. I didn't want to tell my dad. Like, I had 2 D's on my final exams. But it made me go, okay, I need to get this degree not only for me, but just to prove a point for what my dad stood for and what every black and brown kid who was told, no, I'm not writing you that letter of recommendation, or who do you think you are thinking you can go to that school? And the reason why I started Bajika, tying it all around, is that Queen Azinga was that role model for me. Anytime I had a teacher, like, I distinctly, and if she listens to this podcast, you know, tough titty, had an algebra teacher.
Oh, I thought you meant the queen listening to the podcast.
Oh, no, not her tough titty.
I was like, word.
No. I had an algebra teacher who literally would give me F's on things because I wouldn't talk in her class. And that was because she called me the N-word.
I felt you.
No. Like, she basically gave me F's trying to purposely fail me because she called me the N-word and was afraid I was going to snitch. And I was like, no, because if I get out of the class...
We got a teacher like that, too. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
That's not snitch.
That happened here. People are mad at our podcast because our students were upset that a teacher called them that.
And I got a shitty math teacher. I don't care.
They're right to feel that way.
Well, no, it was to the point that it was like, I'm not going to retaliate, which is what you want me to do, because that means I can't take geometry, and that means I can't take any of the science classes in high school. So I'm just going to play my position and just let you know that I know what you're doing with the PE coach during free time. Cool. Wow. But it's things like having a role model. We can throw shots, it's fine.
It's all anonymous. They don't remember.
You had the layered plan of what to do.
But it was just like, anytime I feel discouraged, I would reread that book, that Royal Diary, which now sounds like really cheesy, of Queen Azinga. So when I graduated from high school and I was at MIT and I was like, wow, I'm seeing all these pieces I didn't know at play that opened this door for me. What can I do for other people who don't have that door? And that's when I was like, okay, when I was younger and foolish, I was like, I'm going to dedicate something in Queen Azinga's memory. The language Kumbudu was the language spoken in her kingdom. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start an organization that's going to open doors for people. And what are
you
we about?
Make a movie.
I could what?
You could make a movie like about your life.
Nice.
Like, and at the end, it's just you and your big company.
Okay.
Halle Berry would not play me.
Let's be honest. Yes. Let's be
Wait,
honest.
Who would play Halle Berry?
Halle Berry. Yes.
Halle Berry would.
No.
But Halle Berry's a bad bitch. Hell yeah.
All right, let's calm down. I'm sorry. Like, I genuinely apologize for asking you to relive,
that
story.
She's an educator. She can't make a movie. She gotta make a book.
But
educational.
No, she's gonna do both.
Like, no more
Let's
typing.
Make it both. Nice and even.
The diary.
Listen,
diary of
exactly
Queen Nisha.
Like diary of her.
Diary of Queen Nisha.
Well, I'm slowly transitioning to the queen thing. So, like, my Instagram description
is... You can be your own queen.
Right. I call myself a benevolent queen of a constitutional monarchy, also known as Bajika.
That's
it.
That's
the name of your book.
I was...
I am the
book,
too.
So,
we're having everything she just said on a book.
I normally do this at the end, and I'll ask where people can follow you and all that stuff. And but I'm going to do that right now because I find it relevant. Because if you follow her... No, it's not time yet.
No.
But if you follow her Instagram, you'll see that not only did she dress like Princess Shuri when she came here, but she was also Captain Marvel last month. I think she did some Jedi stuff in December.
Oh, yeah.
So where can people follow you?
So you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. We're on all of the platforms except Snapchat, because I still haven't figured that one out yet.
Wow.
Or TikTok. I'm old. Just give me the points.
Yeah,
TikTok
like,
is not it.
You can help us later.
TikTok is not it.
So you can find us at MBADIKA, which is Bajika, spelled phonetically. You can find us there. But in terms of why I was dressed up, we not only do hands-on STEM workshops like Steambox does, but we also do DIY project guides. So if there's any way you want to learn more about engineering, I use pop culture, just like you guys on the podcast, in order to explain very complicated concepts. So I was Princess Shuri to explain 3D printing and how to use computer-aided design. I was Maleficent in order to explain how you can use 3D printers to create chocolate molds. I made these Maleficent caramel apples that I designed on the computer. I was Captain Marvel to create a power glove. I was Rey from Star Wars for our Star Wars special to make BB-8 cookies. Dang, I've been a lot of characters. Nala from Lion King.
I think you just...
How the hell were you Nala from Lion King?
Everyone at Disney World, you were just...
I laser cut a headpiece out of wood.
The live action one's still a damn lion.
Listen.
Yeah.
But it was 3D.
I agree. So we did Lion King. I think everyone's favorite one, which is weird, was our NASA one. And which I died in space because I was part of Mars 2030 mission. We're nerds. We just have really weird skits to explain
stuff.
I
feel like I didn't see that.
You didn't see me die in the very aluminum foil.
I ain't never seen you die.
That sounds weird to say. You didn't see me
I
die.
Cried during movies, so I probably would have cried because you're a friend of mine.
No. I had like the death scene in the aluminum foil spacesuit, which was a hilarious conversation with our accountant because they're like, you can't use this as a tax deduction because you can use it for your everyday work clothes. And I'm like, yes, an aluminum foil spacesuit I can use every day as work clothes.
Man. He wouldn't like to be my guy.
Especially during the summer.
Oh, yes. And I had a matching blue skirt. And they were like, yes, this you can wear in the office. And I was like, really?
So
keeps the aliens away, okay?
Definitely follow Nisha. But I wanted to cut back to Armando because I think Armando wanted to sneak off real quick. So
speaking of what Nicole mentioned about the possible like movie, you know, the movie ending with like a big like empire worth of like what you've done. So where do you see yourself in 10 years or like your goal in 10 years?
So right now, funny you mentioned that, this is our 10-year anniversary of Bajika. So I've been doing this for 10 years and I'm starting to feel my age. I would say in another 10 years, I would like to graciously retire from the game, you know, like all good rappers do. And I would like to see the next generation take up the actual torch. And what I mean by that is I do want my movie to end with me in that corner office and the new generation coming in and going, yes, we're going to take this in a different direction in order to help people. And I'm like, yo, do it. Look at my Forbes and my Wired magazine covers. I did my thing. I met Beyonce. We cool.
Yeah.
So that's where I see myself in the next 10 years. In terms of, like, personally, I would like to have a Mercedes-Benz McLaren SLR or a Sterling Moss. But that is, you know, $1.43 million. Okay, bougie, it's fine. $1.43 million car. And I would like a lifestyle that supports that. But that's, some people will call selfish if you run a nonprofit. But given my backs and bones and the blood, sweat, and tears I've sacrificed, I think that's an awesome reward from the universe to give to me.
You got that. I believe in you.
You know, girl, gotta try.
A 3.4 million car just falls on her house.
Well,
no, I guess. Like, I don't know if you guys know Gran Turismo, because I think Forza and other video games. Yes, as in the video game. Mm-hmm. I was the person in the early 2000s who saved up enough money to actually purchase, in simulation mode, this Mercedes-Benz SLR McLaren. So it's been my dream car for almost 20 years.
In the game? She had the steering wheel, she had the shifter and the
radio. I did! I actually had the steering wheel and I had the gamer chair, because it took me 3 weeks to play in order to save up enough coins. To get that car. Do you see the passion for this car?
You'll get it eventually.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I'm going to say through legal means, sure. But there's faster means.
He's faster ways.
I don't know. There's places where we should be.
Earlier in your career, while, like, you know, pursuing it still,
yes.
At a younger age, did you have to face the same hardships as your father did, like, for example, the recommendation letter?
Yes. Was one of the reasons why I wish my dad had told me about that a little earlier. But I was fortunate that I encountered it more in middle school, and I was prepared for it by the time I reached junior, senior level in high school. And that is, not everyone wants you to win, and not everyone who claims to be an ally is truly an ally. And what I mean by
that... What does that mean? Yeah.
Yeah, what I mean by that is, we all know individuals who publicly declare on a platform that they want you to be in this space, that you deserve to be here, et cetera, and that they don't discriminate or they don't see anything different between a black and brown student with this test score and another student with this test score. And then when that door closes and the spotlight isn't on them, there's a whole different mindset. And it's taken me a while to realize where that comes from. Because for me, I don't think anyone acts irrationally. I think everyone has a reason to act a certain way, for good or bad reasons. And I think a lot of the teachers or administrators or folks that I encountered, the reason why sometimes they would put unnecessary roadblocks in my way versus my peers was coming from a parent's perspective. Every parent wants their kid to do well, right? You want them to have the best job, best opportunities, etc. And you want other kids, because you feel for children, to have those same opportunities. But once your child is threatened by another child, that's when the game is different. And I never took the lens of, this teacher has a 14-year-old and I'm a 14-year-old and we're both going after the same scholarship. They're gonna put roadblocks in my way because they don't want their child to miss this opportunity, or someone who they know to miss this opportunity.
Who they like better.
Exactly, or who they have more empathy, or
that's
there's
Rhode
more,
too.
Yeah, or they get more social capital, I like to call it. For supporting. You don't get social capital sometimes for supporting myself or other people.
But that's also the reason why certain people cannot be teachers.
Well, that's...
There should never be that barrier, because here's my thing. It is never anybody's fault that your child is not as competent as the other. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, because if you're not as incompetent as me, does that mean that you cannot someday be more competent than me? Because it's also opening your horizons, and it's also educating yourself. If you choose not to educate yourself, if you choose to not make a difference for your own life, that is on you. And you can't shift your child and make your child be something that they don't want to be, because that will never, ever happen. You can be a straight in line person, the strictest person, the most serious person in the world, and your child could be a straight crackhead. And I don't mean like,
talk to my mom.
And I don't mean like actual crackhead, like cocaine
too.
Type.
No.
But I mean like off the wall, spontaneous.
They could be a murderer.
Like they could be a murderer. True, they could be whoever they want to be, because they've set their own path and they already went on their own path. They experienced their own events, so they're different people. They didn't experience the things that you experienced.
And I think Denver, the city of Denver, is an excellent example of this case. So right now, the unemployment rate in Denver is at historic lows, right? It's, I think, less than 4%, but don't quote me. And the problem is, people are spending up to an hour getting their coffee in the morning. No one's fixing cars because no one's going for mechanic positions. No one's going for public transportation jobs, etc.
So
right.
You're telling me to go over to Denver and get a really easy job.
Right, you can go to Denver, get really easy job, but here's the flip side. Denver used to be that city that was, everyone was like, oh my God, we're about this and we're about that. But privately, they were stopping a lot of people from having equal access to opportunity. So those people left. And what you realize is, you should never look at another child as competition for your child unless that child has literally walked up to your child and threatened them.
For real.
And that's the problem. So now you're sitting there for an hour getting your cup of coffee because you refuse to fund that program that would have educated a child to actually be able to operate that cash register.
And it's not even that. You should be, if anything, happy that your child has as much competition as they do, because the more competition, the more competitive. Have you noticed that children are competitive? I'm a competitive person. I'm not going to lie. If you're coming after my position, I'm coming after you. And you better either get a couple steps in front of me or do something about it. Because if not, I'm going to surpass you and I'm not going to care.
Competition's healthy. Yeah. Bias is different, though.
Yeah,
right?
Like bias is different.
But bias is something that we all have, right? Can you think of a bias that you have? I'm an Xbox guy over PlayStation.
Oh my God, you are.
I'm an Xbox guy. Right?
Like, but I feel like there's such a thing as unhealthy bias.
Right.
Like, there shouldn't be bias against race, nationality, those type of things, because we're people, we're human. We should all stick together. Yeah. We should all have a mutual understanding.
There's a reason for that, because obviously people believe that the other race is more superior than that one. Like, for example, like how white people believe that they're more superior than any other race, like blacks, Asians, and Latinos and stuff like that. White, like how Donald Trump deports Mexicans and et cetera, like that, and how Asians and blacks were slaves back then.
But what I would challenge you is not to, I would say what I would challenge you is not to frame it as an unhealthy bias, because there is always an interest in a bias. Mm. If I am that white person, for example, there's an interest in me saying that black and brown kids cannot be taught by black and brown people. The reason why it's in my interest, if I was a white person running my nonprofit, is because that allows me to say, I'm not giving this black or brown organization money to teach black and brown kids, which means I will never be questioned on how they should be taught.
Can we pause that? Because I actually want to come back to that. I feel like there's a lot of important stuff there. You and I are both people of color running organizations in a world that probably awards other people first, right? So I definitely want to come back there, but first, I want to get real serious. There's a real serious question. This is for one of our homies who isn't here.
This is for another Steambox member named Oscarina.
Oscarina just finished boot camp. Ooh, ooh, Oscarina.
What's your favorite Pokemon?
Oh my God.
You're going to hate me. Mewtwo, hands down.
What?
So, okay, for the non-90s babies in this room, you do not understand Mewtwo. And Detective Pikachu does not count, okay? Mewtwo, oh my God. Now you have me mispronouncing because I'm mixing it with Pikachu. I know someone was going to say that. That's why I said you guys are going to hate me. Mewtwo is my favorite Pokemon because he was the first Pokemon who said, let me turn the game on its head. If you've ever seen the original Pokemon movie, Pokemon 2000,
best movie ever.
Yo, we have...
When you have...
Paul Oscarina's not here for the one person who can answer this question.
No, and the reason why I like Mewtwo... Like, everyone can like Mew because Mew's cute and passive and powerful and all that. Mewtwo! Exactly.
He does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like Mewtwo because Mewtwo's like, hold up. You guys created me because you wanted a bad... Well, guess what? I am that. Now you upset because I changed the game. Why are you mad at me? You created me. If you wanted me to be something different, then you should have changed that. Now I got Pikachu clone and Pikachu fighting each other to the death, got the whole movie theater crying. Now y'all want to be upset. No. No.
Is she wrong? Is there a better Pokemon than Mewtwo?
Nope.
No.
No, I think she just summed it all up.
Yeah.
She summed it all up. You got no argument.
You know Mewtwo was the baddest when Detective Pikachu could have rewritten Pokemon 2000. They had Ryan Reynolds playing Pikachu, for heaven's sakes. And they said, no, who's the baddest in this catalog? We done eliminated half the Pokédex or Pokédex or whatever for Sword and Shield. We still got to go back to Mewtwo. That's when you know. That's what you know.
And they're making a remake of the 2001.
Mm-hmm. Are they?
Yeah, 3D one.
Are they?
Yep.
It's not
and
be like
Mewtwo
TV.
Just has a movie coming out this month on Netflix.
Hmm. Mm. Sometimes I don't like remakes. Sometimes I'm like, I already have a good one. Like, I have one.
I mean, it's exactly like the movie. Like, literally, like, word for word and movement for movement. It's just
upgrading the way it looks, a little bit. Yeah.
It just, it's a little offsetting.
Huh. Yeah. Is it an upgrade? I don't know.
I mean, I still have Pokemon 2000. That was the movie. I had to fight a couple people in fourth grade to go see. And if you know, because you guys do not understand, and I'm going to be the old person here. That movie theater, you had to fight to get into Pokemon Movie 2000.
This is Miami?
Yes. In Miami, it came out 5 days before it came out anywhere else. Oh, there were people who I fought in my school I had to see the next day, and I did not care. And then we had the Pokemon, I don't know if you guys know about Burger King used to do the Pokemon balls.
Yeah.
That you actually, and they had to be recalled because there was an incident. Yeah, we were also fighting each other with those in the middle of the movie theater. Like, no. Still one of the greatest moments of my childhood.
Just gonna bonk someone with that.
Oh, if you had siblings, it was on.
One of the greatest moments of your childhood is a child riot. That's interesting.
Well, because I'm a passive person.
Of course. Obviously.
Right.
Obviously.
So, it was one of those glimmer of hope moments that you realize, oh, if the purge was happening, I could turn that switch on. It was great.
Yeah.
She has the option to do things.
Exactly. I just choose not to, which makes me a better person.
Yo, is anybody curious about the process to get to college, to go to a dream school? Do you guys have a dream school?
I don't have a dream school. All I know is that I don't want to be in Rhode Island.
I don't want to be in Rhode Island, but I have no other choice. I can't leave my mother alone.
Mm-hmm. You can't leave your mom.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to say bye, Mom. Why can't
you
just take her? Who's taking
her?
I got you.
Like, out of pocket.
For a different reason. Like, it's personal, so I'm not going to be putting it in the broadcast.
Okay.
Ain't nothing personal.
But let's just say that I can't leave my mother alone because she starts to become very emotional.
Yeah. Oh, it is like that with Spanish families.
No, this is like different type of emotion.
Yeah. It sounds like there's more to it. So
So
I hear you. Anybody else have a dream college?
I wanted to go to New England Tech, but that one is expensive, bro.
New England Tech is expensive.
Like, I ain't got that kind of money.
How much about
either. Thank you.
Yeah. What is the semester or yearly tuition? Okay.
The yearly tuition.
Oh.
It's a lot. Even their in-state is a lot.
Wait, what?
No, and I think that's one of the things I'm going to put this out here, but it's not a secret. So I didn't pay to go to MIT. And that's not because of a scholarship. Mm-hmm. So MIT is one of the few schools that they do need-based financial aid. So if you broke, they're like, okay, you're going to work an on-campus job, and they will pay the rest, including your housing, your food, your books, et cetera.
That seems good.
Okay, we might have to go to MIT.
But MIT isn't the only one, but there are those institutions.
I didn't even know about that, though.
I didn't either. Cause
but those are the type of organizations that they don't talk about because they don't want everybody sorting out for
it. And now you understand. I didn't. Yeah. My school didn't tell me about it. They didn't even know I was applying to MIT because I only told one guidance counselor who I trusted. I didn't tell my teachers. So no one knew I was applying. And so they didn't feel the need to even mention this as an option until MIT decided to air my business out and tell them I got in, which was an interesting moment as well.
They're like, why didn't you tell me, huh?
I'm going to put this out here right now for my guidance counselors. My guidance counselors next year, they're going to hate me because I refused. Because they try to make you apply for all these colleges that you don't want to go to, and you know you don't want to go to, but they make you apply to it.
Well,
I'm not
going to put myself in your shoes.
But what about if I want to do my own opportunities? They make you walk through the whole entire applying for a college process with them. And it's like, what about if I want to do that on my own personally?
Well, you have to realize, remember the thing I said, you have to look at whose interests are at play? Mm. So I can speak on Boston. There's a lot of my students who are like, I don't know why my guidance counselor is pushing this college thing. And I was like, well, they just want you to have various career pathways. But you also realize your school is also being judged by how many graduates go to a college, how many people graduate on time, making sure that there's no excuse why you're not in college. And depends on the school. One college may be equated to another if it's a safer bet versus what you want. Because my school, they were like, oh, you should go to Tallahassee Community College. And I was like, oh, okay. I can't go to a state school. I can't go to Florida State, University of Florida, University of Miami. I can only go to Tallahassee Community College. And I thought I could only go to Tallahassee Community College. If it wasn't for a pre-summer program, my summer between junior and senior year, and MIT was like, spend 6 weeks with us for free. And I applied because it was 6 free weeks in Boston. I'd never been out of the state. I would have known that it was a recruitment program. Like, the director of that program literally sat me down. He's like, oh, we're going to send you home to Florida. And I was like, why? He's like, because you're acting like you don't want to go to MIT. We're too good for you. And I'm like, what? I was like, I don't have a chance in hell of getting into school. I didn't know you
existed.
Like,
you're too good for MIT?
Yeah, they thought I was one of those kids. Yeah. It was like, I'm going to Harvard.
Who the hell is too good for MIT?
Well,
yo, is Harvard better than MIT?
At the time, Harvard was number one and MIT was number five. Yeah. So they thought I was that kid.
Okay.
Instead of the opposite that my teachers had told me since I was in, like, kindergarten, I wasn't going to go beyond community college. Mm. So I was there like, oh, it's great. I want to learn as much as I can. But I wasn't taking the college sessions they were giving me seriously. Even one of them, I laughed because she was like, oh, could you see yourself at this school? I think you'll be a great fit. And I was like, and she thought I was being arrogant.
That's a video game laugh, by the way.
Oh.
Or an anime laugh.
I'll go with anime.
Okay.
Yeah.
But no, it was until I had a heart to heart and told them, no, my teacher told me already I can only go to Tallahassee Community College. And they realized I was being serious, and they were like, oh, wait, what? No, baby girl, why do you think we paid for you to be here? And I was like, oh, because you just need to check a box off that you gave a black girl an opportunity. And they were like, that's a lot of money we giving you for an opportunity. They're like, you know we're poaching you, right? That's what all this is about. That's why we're showing you foldable cars and robots. I was like, oh, I thought it was for the photo op.
That's when you're like,
Oh.
I thought it was just
he said a photo of
publicity. Right. Nicole, I didn't know better.
Nicole and RJ, by the way, $42,000 plus a year to go to New England Tech.
How is that MIT prices for New England Tech?
Why?
I got like a dollar in my pocket.
Why
right
is
now
that a problem? So, you ain't got $150,000 for college?
No.
Totally. No, yeah, definitely. Let me just check my pocket.
But I would.
My aides will be coming in. Thank you. You're submitted.
And a dollar.
Dinner's on me tonight. Don't worry about it.
No, but I would say that was the mindset even I walked into their office with, and they're sitting there bewildered, like, she seriously thinks that we spending all this money because she can only go to a community college. And when they called my school was like, wait, you mean Nisha? Like, that Nisha got into your school? Is this a prank call? And they're like, oh, here's the letter verifying that she got in. And they're like, this Nisha. Mm. This
sure.
that one right there. Oh, okay.
Not that Nisha.
Oh, no. It was Armageddon. When.
Have you gone back?
What do you mean Armageddon? What happened, though? We want to know.
What's your return like? Do you stride through there like a hero now? Do you?
I do not even walk on that campus. Mm. I have no problem like with my high school. Now. That's the thing. It was not a problem with the high school. It was a problem with, I didn't realize for years that people were purposely not telling me about programs. They weren't telling me about after school workshops and sessions to get into these colleges because they didn't pick me as one of the kids who should go. Damn. So when they found out I got into the dream school and everyone else got rejection letters who they had been grooming, let's say, for the past 4 years, I walked down the hallway and I didn't know what happened, but apparently there was an editorial in my local newspaper and it outed me as being accepted to MIT. And I was rejected from a couple of schools in my state. So like Florida State, University of Florida rejected me.
University of Florida.
MIT took you.
So early, I did my, it was November 1st.
Yes, their deadline is, we will know.
Super early.
And for some reason, they were extremely picky about who they accept. And I'm just like, oh, I got rejected. That makes sense.
But I mean, I kind of get why they rejected you because they don't want people in their own state. They want diverse people. They want people that, I don't mean like diverse, but I mean like people.
Money.
Not because what I heard from my other teachers, they keep on saying that when you tend to like apply to colleges that are farther, then you're more likely to get accepted because they want to see people from different places.
Oh, that's what you mean by diversity.
Yeah,
diversity. They want people from different places. So when they see somebody that's native, they're like, we have like a whole bunch of other students that are coming here from
logos.
The same exact state.
Right, but I mean like in Florida, I don't know if you guys have this in Rhode Island, but you get a full ride if you're in the top 10% of your class. So the reason why I would apply to a school in Florida is because it's free.
I could have gone there for free then. I'm top like 5. I'm number 4 in my class.
What?
Oh. Yeah.
Girl, what are you doing?
Nothing.
What are you doing? You need to go.
No, I was going to be applying for it and I didn't come in a week after the due date. And I didn't know that.
I don't care.
The deadline was November 1st. I was like so early and then I'm not even having like the ability to apply to it because the deadline was already open. That's for regular admission.
Right, no, they do an early deadline because they have so many people supposedly, but no. That's why when I got rejected, I had no problem with it. I was like, I still have Tallahassee Community College. But I would say when I got in and my school was notified, the reason why I go was like Armageddon, I have not walked back on there since. And mind you, I was on the school board at the time. Mm. So I was the most powerful student in the county. And they still were like upset that I got in. And one of the students, and I'll never forget, he was like, I don't understand what they saw in you. They must be really desperate for some black at this
time.
Are
you serious?
And I was like, oh, that's how we playing it today?
So there's a lot
and
of
it wasn't desperate for no ugly niggas, period. So, like, what's up with it? I'm feeling offended now.
But it's one of those things, if you were 18 and you were told you're the glory child, mm-hmm. you're the one who's going to get this school, and you spent the weekend with the rejection letter, and come to find out this person who you didn't think was on your level got the acceptance letter you wanted, then you're going to have some vitriol come out. And not only from the student, you have to realize, the parents who invested all this money into this sure thing, and then the community that invested all this money into the sure thing, and then you had maybe teachers or other organizations who were grooming him to be this chosen
this
one.
Is why I like the fact that nobody in my family cares and nobody in my school cares about me specifically, because that's just, I don't know, I like being by myself.
Hey,
I'm not talking about you. Well, you're not really a part of this school anymore. I'm not gonna lie.
Wow.
Nah, because let's be honest, the school hasn't been treating him like he's a part of this school.
But does it matter? For the record, does Roberto care about you?
Of course, Roberto
does
cares.
Does Steambox care about you?
Steambox has always cared about me, okay. And has opened me to millions of doors that I didn't think I even had.
I like that. I'm gonna use that soundbite. That's nice.
But no, that's the purpose of it. That's why I actually deal with Roberto. I'm gonna say deal. Because I have to come from Boston to Providence.
When she says deal with Roberto, doesn't it mean
like
you're
in trouble?
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't seem like I'll put up with his bullshit.
I mean, everybody got
it
to deal
took
with
like
me.
15 text messages over 3 months to get this one meeting.
That's true. But it happened fast. It was like, how
yes,
about tomorrow?
Once it happens, it's fast. It's just the long game you have to worry about.
Wait, did you email him or something?
No, I texted.
You should have went on Facebook.
We texted back.
You know what?
You know what? Armando has a question here. Armando wanted to know, did you have hardships and what kind of challenges did you have at the start of your career? And let's say starting Bajika.
Change the topic, Roberto. Mm-hmm.
No, I was just wanting to make sure I got to Armando's question.
Yes, of course. So everyone has hardships, so that's a weird question always for me to answer. Because I'm a black female. Of course I'm going to have hardships. And I don't like to say of course, but you're dealing with people who don't think you're competent.
Armando also has a question that I think ties in. Did you receive discrimination while pursuing your career due to your sexuality or race?
She was just talking about that.
Yeah.
I know. That's why I wanted to. So I wanted to combine those questions because you were about to touch on that anyway.
Yes, I would say. But that's like your everyday experience as a person of color, especially a woman. So I'm not going to say that it was anything different if I was just in a 9-to-5 job versus starting my own organization. I would say there are moments that stick out to me. That was a moment that I was like, I'm going to set this building on fire moments because I'm so angry. One of them was, so we do international work, and this happened in Johannesburg. So we do Latin America and Sub-Saharan Africa, which is why I speak Portuguese and Spanish. I'm still trying to learn French and Arabic, but I'm not that great.
Whoa, the fact that you know Portuguese is already enough.
I'm not good because I mix up Spanish and Portuguese a lot. Yeah. So you have to give me a couple minutes to...
I mean, so does my mom, though.
Well, see, I don't feel as bad, but some people are mad judgy. But we had an incident in Johannesburg that we were at the time working for the U.S. State Department, and this was one of their international STEM programs that we were spearheading. And so I'm walking in, a 24-year-old, and I'm like, yo, I got Obama on my back. I'm good walking into this meeting. No, like we just went to the Global Entrepreneurship Conference in Nairobi, and I was one of three entrepreneurs selected to represent the U.S. Wow. No, what I mean, I got Obama on my back. No. I was like, yo, they can't mess with me. So I go in the meeting, and everyone's like, oh, we're just waiting on someone to join us. We're just waiting on someone to join us. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I don't ask who we're waiting to join us, because I'm like, it don't matter. I'm good. They're like, well, Nisha seems to be late. And I was going, Nisha? That's my name. Huh. Why are they waiting on Nisha, and I'm right here? And mind you, this is a room full of South Africans, Nigerians, Kenyans, some Swedes. It's not like an American doesn't stick out in this room. So they're just like, oh, we're just waiting on Nisha. And I was going, are you waiting on Nisha McCray? And they're like, yeah. I was like, well, that's me. I'm Nisha McCray. And they were like, no, you can't be Nisha McCray. This is an MIT graduate. He's like an amazing engineer. He's also working on a lot of stuff involving STEM education. He just finished a project in Cape Town. And I was like, yeah, he is a she, and that will be me. Hi, I'm Nisha McCray. Do you want me to spell the first name so you know this is the correct Nisha? And the guy, goes on this huge tirade about how dare they insult him by having him meet with a female. And what does this female have anything to do with what he wants? And I was like, oh, I thought it was kind of cute when I walked in here, but now I'm going like, oh, okay.
I would have been the type to be like, well, excuse you, she's a she, and if you got a problem with it, you can
don't let that happen.
No, you'll be like, how dare you speak to me like that? I took my time and effort and a very long flight to get here. So why are you speaking to me like that?
I mean, you were
like
talking
that?
About me so highly when you heard I was a man. Now that I'm a female, everything switched up.
Right? But my whole thing was, his Indian colleagues were just sitting there like trying not to laugh at him because they're going, where did you get Nisha was a male? Mm. And that's when I realized like some people have these stereotypes in their head to the point they can't break them. That when he saw the credentials, he's like, this could not possibly be
a woman.
I could not possibly be, because then he was like, oh no, and Nisha's not black. Look at her hair, it's kinky like my fellow classmates. Like she can't possibly be educated. Like he went in and I was going,
wow.
You should have been like, and where did you get this information? Underneath the rock? Because let me tell you, I think even underneath the black rock has more information of that than
I'm going to be laughing at that in the middle of the night. I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm going to hear that in my head. Where did you get this information? Underneath a rock?
But no.
You heard rug?
Yeah, not rock.
But I would say it was one of the few times that I had to look at everyone else at the room, and I'm going, no one's going to defend me. I've worked for each and every one of you for the past 3 years. No one is going to step up and put him in his place. So he was like, oh, I guess we could start the meeting. I said, you know what? I'm good, because there is nothing here for me. I now cry for the children who won't be serviced by Bajika, but I can't do it. And he was like, oh, that's just like a woman being emotional. And I said, yeah, I'm emotional. And that's just like you being a bitch as a man. And I walked out the room. But it was one of those things that you're like,
I mean, he highly disrespected
me. But no one put him in check. And I was scolded later for being disrespectful to him. And I was like, but if I was a dude, that would have been like, yo, bro, that's cool. Man, I understand you.
And you know what you should have done? You should have gone to, like, one of the news and just be like, you know what he did to me?
I would have tweeted, for real.
I've been over here like, what putting your reputation on the line now? Are you going to be apologizing to me, or am I going to be apologizing for you being rude to me?
We talked about this briefly on the last podcast. Not here. I think I was at EQ for the one and only kind of time. Yeah. And it came up that and I acknowledge this male privilege, something that we talked about earlier, this male privilege would allow me to clap back on something right. like that, and that would gain me respect in the room. People would look higher and more favorably upon me. But as a woman, you're not supposed to clap back.
I would say me clapping back was out of anger, and I knew better, even though it felt good to me at the time. Unfortunately, I never worked in Joburg again because of my response. And I don't mean like to make it sound like it was like 5 minutes of him talking nonsense. It was a good 30 minutes before I snapped.
Minutes.
Yes.
30 minutes.
So when I...
apparently
the
went
fact
in.
That you laughed
and everybody just stayed there like listening to him.
For that.
But you have to realize that when you're in situations like that, what it taught me was you can't look to other people to save you. Because there may be a vested interest, just like I've suffered consequences for speaking back. They may have suffered consequences. I don't know who he knows. He may know the Gupta family. And if you don't know the Gupta family, they're one of the wealthiest families in South Africa and control a lot of politics and a lot of things that happen over there.
I mean, would be saying, screw you.
It don't take that long for me to take my phone and hit that record button and just sit there.
You know what somebody told me?
Tweet.
Right before I started Teambox, at the last organization that I was with, when my boss was a maniac, mm-hmm. and I would say stuff back, somebody who's the program manager walked up to me and he was like, sometimes you got to eat a piece of shit sandwich. He said those words to me. Think about it. Sometimes, do we understand what he means?
Yeah.
Like sometimes you got to take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about it, and I know I'm literal, right? But I understood the metaphor too, and I was like, I don't think I ever got to eat a piece of shit. Like if my son's life is on the line, then maybe, you know what I mean? Then maybe I'd be like, okay, sir, you know what I mean? But unless it's some dire situation like that, I made a rule right then that I am not eating a piece of shit sandwich.
I feel it, Roberto.
If I got to work harder later to make up for whatever this happened,
I'll work harder.
Then whatever. Does anybody, I have to wrap this up now. Does anybody have any last questions before I get into shout outs and stuff like that?
Nope.
So, what advice would you give to your 16-year-old self?
Ooh, dang. 16-year-old Nisha was interesting.
you're oblivious now to a lot of things going on around you. Keep that obliviousness until the world burns over. And I said, that sounds like the weirdest piece of advice, but
I wish I could be oblivious. I wish I could.
And that is a secret skill I didn't know.
Is that eating a piece of
shit sandwich? Well, no. It was because when I was 16, I was so focused on being like a biochemist. Like, I knew I wanted to be in STEM, but I didn't know what.
Yep.
And the only person I knew who was in STEM was a biochemist.
Okay.
My sister had to tell me what I was like in high school, because what I thought I was in high school is apparently not what everyone in my high school thought of me.
I was an asshole. Still am.
Well, I wouldn't say I was an asshole.
Like, we're in your high school.
I know, but I'm an asshole. Like, I can't lie. I'm an asshole to a lot of people for a lot of reasons.
Were you an a-hole?
You walk around.
No, I wasn't an a-hole. Like, I think what I did not appreciate was a skill that I am now using today. Was that I would go down the hallways with like three books in my hand with my custom LED blinking headphones with the Maroon 5 soundtrack and not care that people were cursing me out, calling me racial slurs, and things like that. I literally did not know
she
people were saying
loved.
That. You knew! And wake up call. That was the soundtrack.
Let me tell you something. That was my dad. My dad would be up on everybody who ever said that, because he's like the type of person who would like, you don't mess with him, because he gonna beat you up. But as long as like as long as you stay on like in your line, you don't start like to try to gain his business, you know, they're good. But he'll be up on them. They're like, you can't be talking to me like that. You can't be acting to me like that. I'm a human being just like you. He said up to himself and a lot of people.
See, but now I am now realizing.
The Maroon 5 is canceling it out. That's how
right.
good they are.
But the great thing was the amount of work I was
like
able
animals.
To do.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
No, but like the amount of work you're able to do when you filter out the noise and you realize all it is noise is amazing. When I was 16, I slowly started picking up that maybe I wasn't doing things the way other people wanted me to do it. But if I had kept my very strict focus, I would have been able to do so much more without so much heartache and pain. And I think that's what I want to tell my 16-year-old self, that all that is noise. It's dramatic at the moment when you take your rose-colored glasses off and realize that probably a good chunk of the school hates you because you've hit them accidentally with the textbook as you ran the class. But later in life, when you have other people going, I'm denying you this grant, or I'm not going to let you work with this school, or I'm going to curse you out in the middle of a meeting in a foreign country, me being able to go like, you know, it's cool though.
It's cool.
Because I know other pathways to get to where I need to get to. And I know other pathways to make sure I fulfill my mission.
Tell them, Nisha.
Hey.
Tell them.
Barack Obama has my back. shout out to my man George. He is getting married to a friend of mine, Anna. He actually connected us. We had, I think, heard of each other vaguely
so
and stuff
George?
Like this. So George came into this school. George came into the school before, this might be before your time, and he taught us how to make hand sanitizer in one of the classes. This
yeah,
was
we're
in
here for that.
Mr. Yeah. Evans' class. George, my students are asking if they can come to the wedding. Are you setting up a Steambox table? I feel like there's pressure on them. Do you really want to say no to this children's nonprofit?
George, do you really want to miss out on meeting a Brenda Lee?
George, if you could see the eyes that Joelle is making right now. Joelle is making puppy eyes.
Do you guys know that song?
No.
Yeah. Is that a real thing that's happening right now?
Yeah.
So George, no pressure. We're all invited to your wedding, and you're gonna have to have a Steambox table.
Don't forget the food too.
Shout out to my man George. Do you have any?
Eat it all, but it's okay.
Do you have any other shout outs that you want
to
give?
Shout outs to my mom, who actually will listen to this podcast and be judging
snap.
Me.
Yeah.
Saying that, oh, Nisha, you seem to cut too loose with the young people. It's fine, Mom.
Why you talk about riots when you were in the fourth grade? That's what you're talking
about. Well, she was there, so
yeah,
you know.
The fourth grade riots. Yeah.
She's just watching you punch
Logan. I didn't punch.
I bet your mom remembers that. I bet your mom remembers that entirely different than you remember it.
Oh, no, she remembers the Pokemon theme song. That's the one thing she remembers.
Yeah.
And she has this conspiracy theory that we were all being indoctrinated by the Japanese because how on point the whole
That's
auditorium.
A South Park episode, by the way.
It is.
That's a real South Park episode.
It was because
she
was like,
try to bomb Zahaba. That was the thing. They had Chimpokemon.
Yes.
It was a video game, and they were like, try to bomb Zahaba, and you were practicing bombing Pearl Harbor in the video game.
No, my mom was kind of freaked out. Again, this was just like a moment. Everyone in the auditorium, when the movie came on, they had a different version of the Pokemon theme song, but we still were able to sing the whole song on key and on note.
So right now, your mom is like, your mom, you are my destiny.
And then like the kids going, oh, you're my best friend. And my mom was like, oh no, nope.
What is what is your mom's name?
Brenda McCray.
Brenda, shout out to Brenda McCray. What does she do?
Hey, my name is Brenda Lee. Oh,
okay. So my mom runs a general store. She used to be a nurse, and just like I'm mission driven, she wanted to give back to her community.
Yep.
And so in a lot of rural areas in Florida, it's very hard for people to get basic necessities because you have to have transportation. And so what she would do in a central location in downtown, she had a store, which basically would allow people to come in and get stuff pretty much at the same price you would get it at a Target or a Walmart without having to make the hour or 2 hour drive, and then donate whatever wasn't sold to families in need. And so my mom's basically restructuring that after the hurricane and helping with some other stuff. But no, my mom was the original hustler and G, along with my dad, who was the G when it came to all the side hustles of being a mechanic, also being a consultant in terms of like, oh, you want to start a business? Let me help you with that. You need business cards? I can help you with that. So all those random things I've gotten from my parents, and so I'll give them the shout out. My siblings, yeah, you know, it's cool.
You know, they siblings.
If you don't know,
side hustles that make us with the real hustles.
If you don't know, follow on social media. Follow Bajika, spelled it's at MBADIKA. And if you don't know, these students are having the time of our lives. We talked about Brenda Lee. Where are you taking us?
Boston Burger Company.
No. Yes. Brenda's taking us to Boston Burger Company because she invented a milkshake. Yes. She's also setting up our trip to Canada. We're going to go to Niagara Falls. Somebody talked about go-karts. I don't know.
Can I set
haunted
up
house.
All the trips, even if I don't end up going to all of them?
We'll talk, Brenda. We'll talk.
So if it helps you, I've been 11 countries and never been to Canada, so I'm jealous.
I'm saying.
Don't worry. I've only been to Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, and Providence in New York.
Maybe we can make room. You got to come with us. Get your passports ready. But if you want to follow these adventures, these are at SteamboxRI on social media. This has been another podcast from Alvarez High School with my steampunks. Steampunks, please say peace out.
Peace out.